Everyone have a handout. This time I'm going to be learning through some Gemaras. So it's best if we... Huh? There's the one that I gave out, you know, but I have more of them.
Is that what I mean?
Right. So... this topic has nafkaminas not only for doctors, also, by the way. It has nafkaminas for parents and for really anybody. And the topic, anyone need a handout? Anyone? You have? Everyone got? Okay. So the topic is basically the main topic is returning from Hatzalah, which really refers to any time, let's say, you've gone in Beheter, because of Pikuach Nefesh, you've gone in to the hospital to take care of somebody, to whatever the particular scenario. Now you've done what you needed to do. You saved the day, right? Pikuach Nefesh situation taken care of. What do you do from there, right? Particularly sensitive Friday night and early Shabbos morning, especially during the summer or longer Shabbosos. What do you do? What type of heterim exists to allow you to go home? And it goes, this issue and the sugyas that are relevant to this issue go well beyond that type of case. Where it sneaks up on you is in many other scenarios. For example, we were just talking, the Friday night scenario. And this is one very common, even if you have a Shabbos residency. I did Shabbos residency. This must have happened to me 5-10 times. Generally during the winter is when it's you're more at risk. You're in a scenario where you're towards the end of your shift. If you're a good Shabbos person, you're going out of your way to make a Kiddush Hashem all the time, and you're helping your fellow residents, you're being sensitive and considerate of them all the time, and you also care about the people you're taking care of, and you care about your job. So you're met with a situation, and it's close to Shabbos, but you certainly have enough time to get home. Do you enter that situation? Do you start to participate? Or do you do something like, if it's during a residency and you're on a Shabbos program, you say, oh, well, I'm on a Shabbos program. I could just peel out of here, no problem. Do you do something as stupid as that? Or do you not? So part of the cheshbon that are feeling biased, part of the cheshbon is, aside from all the other potential Chilul Hashem that I just mentioned and jeopardizing Shabbos programs for people in the future, aside from all that, if I have a heter in general going in on Shabbos and I have some kind of heter that we'll talk about to come home, can I apply it to this scenario as well? Can I apply it to, well, it's going to affect my thinking. I'm assuming everybody has some idea, vague idea of what's the matir to go back home after cases of Pikuach Nefesh. It's going to be something about heter yourself and mishum tchilasam, which means we're going to let you go back somehow. We'll talk about major machlokas, how you can go back. This is like almost a defining feature for people. You'll see what I mean. And if the logic there is something along the lines of, well, hey, you know, I might hesitate to go in for the Pikuach Nefesh, so therefore Chazal are going to allow me to go back, even though there is no longer any setting of Pikuach Nefesh, so shouldn't that apply also to the Friday night case? So what we're going to learn about is Rav Shechter Shlitos has a suggestion, right? You have to ask him personally if you want to find out if it's a psak. Certainly in Ikvei Atzon, and he certainly is quoted in this regard, has a chumrah here, has a chumrah in this Friday night scenario. So we'll have to talk about that. The other kind of cases are, what if the shifts, what if it's not like you're just getting called up from home, but let's say you end up with a shift. You know, you're an ER doctor, and somehow you have a Shabbos shift. You should really try not to, right? But let's say you do, and okay, whatever the scenario is, does the heter count under those conditions? Maybe not. There's good reason to think not. It's not like, if the rationale was I might hesitate to come in and Chazal want to take that nisayon away from me, well, if I have a shift, I don't have a choice. I have to go in. So do I have any heter to go home from a shift? This is really big shaila in Eretz Yisrael. I'll tell you right off the bat, a major, major psak that we're going to have to understand better, that's very, almost counterintuitive once you've learned the sugyas, is in Shemir Shabbos, quoting the Shlomo Zalman, And other gedolim, there's a heter, let's say in Shari Tzedek Hospital, and other places, for the Jewish nurses and doctors who have shifts on Shabbos to go home via Amir al-Nachri, but we'll talk about the details soon. So we have to understand that, because that also has nafkaminas for us. It might not be the same in Eretz Yisrael and in America. There might be more compelling halachic reasons to be mekil in Eretz Yisrael than there are here. Anyone think about what that might be? More than the Jewish patients, but if, let's say, the nurses, there's just not enough non-Jewish nurses, let's say, to go around to cover the situation. So that might be part of that. We'll have to talk about it. Then finally, let's get outside of medicine. Let's say you're a parent, right? Which, Bez Hashem, we all should be parents and have kids, and kids should be healthy forever, but sometimes they're not. And sometimes you got to go into the hospital or to go to the doctor's office. So we'll talk, Bez Hashem, before I go back to Israel, about those scenarios up front, you know, exactly what are the parameters and the travel parameters for going in those scenarios. But let's say, whatever it is, you got to have, you worked Lakula to go in, right? Most of the time it's going to be with a katan and with children. And now, case was taken care of. You went in there Shabbos morning, you had to go into the ER, you know, concussion, I don't know about your children, I remember my kids, I wish some of them were here today so I could make fun of them in front of their faces. Yeah, they're very active, particularly on Shabbos. And, you know, head injury here, head injury there. You don't take chances. So you go into the ER, let's say, lulav concussion, whatever the scenario was, right? And now it's done, and yeah, no concussion, leave me alone. That's the ER guy. And time to go back. So can I go back? Hetir sof mishum tchilasim by a parent? In other words, if the rationale is you might hesitate to go in, right? So therefore, we're going to make it to yourself on the Shem Tchilasim. Is that true by a parent? They would hesitate to go in for their kid? Sounds ludicrous. Perhaps that heter does not apply. We'll have to see. Depends on the kind of parent, right? So all of this we want to cover. So, and I'll tell you, there's a major machlokas between Moshe Feinstein and Shlomo Zalman on this that we're going to explore ourselves. I'm glad it's kind of an intimate group here, so we can really dig into the sugya together. But this is a great exercise. One of the beautiful elements to this sugya is you really get to see two things. You get to see the halachic process in general in operation. You really get to see it through this sugya. And number two, you get to see how it could be that two gedolei olam, the Moshe Feinstein, Shlomo Zalman, can debate a sugya. It's just an amazing thing. So we're going to experience that together. One of the nekudas ha-machlokas that it comes down to between the two of them is an amazing idea. And that is the whole idea that hetira sofa mishum tchilasin relates to hesitation on the part of the doctor to go in. The potential that they're going to hesitate to go in. Rav Shlomo Zalman cannot believe that a Jewish doctor would ever hesitate to go in. He just can't accept that. And you'll see when he writes in response, and it's an amazing what Rav Shlomo Zalman writes there of Moshe. Like, the tshuva starts out, I was telling some people last week, the tshuva starts out with on the bottom of it, and I recommend everyone, to Mincha Shlomo Simen Ches. He writes on the bottom, he says, you know, here's this long tshuva. I know I already spoke about this in Simen Zayin, which we looked at a little bit in one of the other sugyos. I touched upon this, but I had to write this whole thing, because we have Chilul Shabbos at stake here. And I'm going to be writing something very strong, and I did it because I was able to call up or write to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he gave me permission to go ahead. It's an amazing, also, sort of window into the tzitkus of both of these gedolim. Rav Shlomo Zalman, that he wouldn't think about writing this harsh, sort of harsh tshuva without, you know, at least asking or informing Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe, of course, the anav that he was, no problem, just go ahead. So there's so many beautiful elements to the tzitkus. How could they be arguing about that anyway? So, in other words, like Rav Shlomo Zalman says, doctors are going to hesitate? Jewish doctors? To save a Jew? And Rav Moshe Feinstein, yeah. So, do they just have opposite attitudes? Is that what that reflects? So, the Viennese Deity, I think there's a subtlety, and I'm purposely getting into this because I want all of you to be aware, those going into medicine and maybe parents, to be aware of something about how powerful the potential for rationalization is in human beings. It's unbelievable. So, I want to give you real-life scenarios that I myself have been through, where I felt this nisayon, and I felt it many times, but this one really illustrates it. I think very, very vividly, and you can get the flavor of the tension. So there's something, since there are non-doctors here, I'll really explain this. There's something called post-pericardiotomy syndrome. Anyone familiar with it? Okay, no one knows it. So what is that? That's after open heart surgery, any open heart surgery. So one of the complications that's in certain defects is fairly common is that the heart lining, the pericardium, becomes inflamed, and there's an effusion, fluid builds up around the heart. Now, the treatment for it is usually anti-inflammatories, if you get it in time, but it could get serious, meaning, especially in a post-operative patient, it can get big and be totally life-threatening, and you got to tap it. You got to emergently tap it. You can't just treat it with medication. So, what happens when you're, let's say, an attending physician, right? Or if you're a fellow training in cardiology, let's say, and you're allowed to go home. So typically what happens is you get a phone call, and let's do my scenario. And this I've been through so many times. I get a call from the fellow who's in-house, and he tells me, oh, patient A has, I think, post-pericardiotomy syndrome. I think he's got this fluid around the heart. So now I'm the attending at home. No interest in coming in on Shabbos. None at all. But sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't have to go in on Shabbos. If it's obviously a small to moderate effusion, I could stay home and I say, start the anti-inflammatories. Don't worry about it. If it's a moderate to large, I better go in. So how do I deal with the fellow as he tells me this information? So let's say it's July. Take the extreme. In July, what does a first-year fellow in cardiology know about quantifying a pericardial effusion? About as much as you guys knew about this condition, right? Zero, right? So the guy says to me, right, this could happen this month. He calls me up and he says, hey, you know your patient, you just brought him in from Eretz Yisrael. Well, he did great, surgery is great. But he's got a pericardial effusion now. I go, oh yeah? How big is it? So he tells me, I think it's small to moderate. So I say to the guy, oh yeah? How many effusions have you seen? Oh, it's my first one. So I go, so what's your reference frame? What do you mean small to moderate? How are you determining that? Can you determine that first time? Absolutely not. Right? It tells you a lot about a fellow if they actually are claiming to be able to make that call. Right? So I say to him, I'll see you in 5 minutes. And I drive right in, because that would be ludicrous and malpractice not to go in yourself and accept the fellow's determination. Let's say it's June. Same scenario. So then, already, he's been through this 100 times. He knows. I can trust him. I stay home. When's Nisayon? 3 to 9 months, around there. 3 to 9 months of their fellowship. And they tell me this. Now what do I do? Well, Shabbos, I don't really want to go in. He's probably got it. What if he doesn't? What, you know, if you get called for the patient who's tamponade, that's really bad. That they could lose. You have to realize what's at stake here. Life, brain. Yeah, you might save them, but there'll be brain damage for life. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Right? It's crazy. It's crazy. The right thing to do in that scenario, by the way, is go in. Just on the record. If you have any doubt that they're miscalling this, you must go in. Otherwise, in my opinion, you should have never become a doctor, and you're crazy. But you can easily understand the temptation not to. And I've had this many, many times. You know, it's Shabbos morning, or worse, Friday night, and you get a call like that, and you got to make that call. And this is just one tiny example of many, many scenarios just like this. Oh, there's a little fever. I think they look septic, but no, they don't really. It's probably just an ear infection. And you're making these kind of calls all the time. And the objective of Chazal with Hetir Sof and Shun Trilasam is to remove the Nisayon. Chazal knew human nature unbelievably well. There's so many examples. This is one area where I think they were so on the money, and where I'm going to lean towards Rav Moshe in being concerned with this possibility that people will be misrashel, even b'makom pikuach nefesh Yisrael, even in that setting, they're going to be. It's just so easy to rationalize. You could so much convince yourself you're not doing anything wrong, because there are subtleties, and what the goal of Chazal was: don't look at this scenario differently. Tuesday from Shabbos, we're going to say hetiros mishum tchilasim, so that you should approach it like it's a weekday. Now, use variables, whatever variables of decision making you have for risk, use them, Don't throw Shabbos into the equation. That's what Chazal were after. Take it out of the equation. All right. So let's now. That's the area. That's the tension. That's the underlying issue that we're going to try to understand. How I'll tell you the end point. But Moshe Feinstein said, "Hetir Sabbat Mishum Tchilasim goes as far as you can do the Raisas to come home." That's big. It means you could drive into the emergency and you could drive home. Big, big. You can do anything you want. It's like Hutra the Gamer. Just drive right home. The Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt it was crazy to allow that. And I'm not exaggerating. I'll read some of his language. It's unbelievable. He just felt, absolutely not. You cannot do it. The most you could do, and it was Bekoshi Hatiru, even this, you'll see why, the Rabbanim. You could do Amir L'Nachri, and you can go home. And then at the end, hopefully I'll be able to discuss with you practical scenarios. And I'll tell you, the mainstream sheet is Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Most posts can go like Rosh Shlomo Zalman. I'll tell you who goes like Rav Moshe Feinstein, and then you'll ask your personal Rav for the determination for you personally. But big nafkaminas for it, big. And there'll be other nafkaminas to those other scenarios I talked about once we get into the details of how they're developing their sheetahs. Why is it that Rosh Shlomo Zalman is the mainstream? You should also understand based on the way they learned the sugya. Because what I want to do with you, I'm of course biased, I know what both of them say, but let's see how we learn Pashut Pshat. You know, halacha generally follows Pashut Pshat in sugyas. It doesn't follow the fancy lumdas, unless you know you're a brisker or something, you're the Rav. He paskined off his lumdas. But most of us, right, the mahalach is Pashut Pshat wins for the Shulchan Aruch, but wins, you know, in general. Okay. So let's start with page one. I want you guys to really be holding in the sugya so we could do this and hear what you have to say. What you think Pashut Pshat is, it's the key question. So first thing you got to realize is, where does this principle of Atir Sofim Shum Tchilasim, where does it come from? Where do we see it? So the most famous place, the central place, is in this Gemara in Be'ah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Statement of Ula. Amar Ula, Shlosha Dvarim, Hetiru Sovim Mishum Tchilasan, the Elohen. There are three things in total, sounds like, where Chazal were matir you to do something in the end where you don't have the natural Heter, because they have an agenda to get you to do something up front where you do have a real Heter. So where are those three places? Or Lifnei Hadorsan, Trise Chanuyos, the Chazaras Retia B'Migdash. And then we're going to see there's a sheet of Rachva Amar Rebbe Yehuda who adds on a fourth. We're not really interested in the details of this Gemara other than to understand the nature of those three cases and the fourth. Right? What's the nature of these cases? So in each of them, I'll tell you in general, we can go through them, but each of them is an Issur D'Rabbanan, first of all, that they're being matir. The reason for the Heter is Simchas Yom Tov. In each of these three cases, in order to make sure that you do the right thing for Simchas Yom Tov, so, like, for example, Or Lifnei Hadarsan means, you know, that we want you to do shchita, fresh shchita on Yom Tov. We want you to really shech the meat for good, fresh Simchas Yom Tov meal. So in order to persuade you, sort of inspire you to do that, we know you might be hesitant. Why might you be hesitant? Well, if I can't do hafshata, if I can't take off the skin and then put it out so the rabim will flatten it, right? If I don't get to do that, I'm going to say, whoa, what a waste. What a waste. I'm not going to shecht on Yom Tov. I'll wait till chol, and then I'll shecht. So in order to make sure that you don't have such thoughts, we're matir the sof, which really should be asur midrabanan. And then the same type of thing goes into the other ones. Trisei Chanuyos is the same kind of thing. We're going to let you close up the cabinets of the things that the spices and the various things you need for Simchas Yom Tov in order to make sure you open them up in the first place. Right? The chule, right? In all these cases, again, it's a din d'rabanan, it's an issur d'rabanan. They're being matir basof to get you to do something b'tchila. Okay? So that's it. If this were the only Gemara, right, Rav Moshe wouldn't have a chance. Right, there'd be no discussion. There's no way the principle. This is a very big chiddush principle. Hetir Sofim Shum Tchilasan is really wild idea. You know, it's there's no real halachic mechanism for hetir, but we're going to make one up. We're going to create our own. We're going to say in order to inspire what you do early, we're going to let you do an isser at the end. So if it's on a level of Durabanan, not such a big deal, right? Hemamra, right? If it's only Isur de Rabbanan, so they could be matir, whatever. Okay. Now look at the next sugya. Next sugya is in Rosh Hashanah. And this has to do with Eidus HaChodesh, right? Everybody, I'm assuming, knows the mechanism for declaring the new moon, right? Quick review. They were Eidim, they saw the new moon, they would go to Sanhedrin, there would be an investigation, and ultimately, once the Eidus was confirmed, the Kudash Makudash, they would have Rosh Chodesh declared. Great. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, Ashnei Chodashim Mechali Mese Shabbos, on Nisan Mel Tishrei. Really, they could be Mechal Shabbos for any of them originally, but ultimately it was just these two because of the Moados. It's mutter to be Mechal Shabbos to do this. Okay, so how do we know that? That's a big Chiddush. Zeres HaKasim. Right? The Gemara Antelumi says, Minayin Shemechalim Alayim Mese Shabbos, Tamalomar Eile Moadei Hashem, Asher Tikru'u Osam B'Moadam. The Moadam teaches me I can actually be Mechal Shabbos Doraisa. Here's where things are going to open up a little bit. I could be Mechal Shabbos Doraisa in order to get to Beis Din to be able to declare Rosh Chodesh. Good. Zeres HaKasut, no problem. I have Zeres HaKasut that allows me to do it. The Mishnah, the next Mishnah says, Bein Shenira Ba'alil, Bein Shalonira Ba'alil, Mechalalin Alavis HaShabbos. What's the Chiddush there? Anyone, what does it mean, Ba'alil? Everybody know? What's Ba'alil? Whether you could see the moon clearly, the whole world could see the moon. The moon is like, there's no clouds in the sky. You know, it's like a Yerushalmi sky, right? Much nicer than, sorry guys, New York sky, right? So you could see the moon everywhere. So even so, right? Rav Yossi is going to not agree, but the Chachamim say, even so, still you could be Mechal Shabbos. Why is that a Chiddush? Right. Why don't we just say, look, the odds are, based in themselves, no. They saw it themselves. They don't need us. No. Chiddush number one is, nevertheless, you could still be Mechal Shabbos even under those conditions. Then the very famous Maisa, Sha'avru Yoser Ma'arbaim Zug, the Ikvam Rabbi Akiva Balud. What happened? 40 pairs of Eidim come to declare the new moon. So Rabbi Akiva in Lud holds them up. Why? Why is he doing that? We don't need all of you. Right? What do we need all you for? So he holds them up. What's the famous response? So he doesn't want them to be Mechal Shabbos. Shalach l'Rabban Gamliel, Ma'akiv Atas Arabim, Nimseis Machshilon La'asid Lavo. There it is. That's the other expression that is used for Hetiru Sobim Shim Tchelasim. Machshilon La'asid Lavo. It's a very similar concept. What does it mean? You can't hold these guys up. Because it might be true that today, with the very clear moon and everybody knows about it, we don't need them. They shouldn't really necessarily need to be Mechal Shabbos. Nevertheless, incredible, on a level of Daraisa, it's operative. We're going to say to you, look, next time, we might not be so lucky that everybody knows it's Rosh Chodesh, and we'll need each and every one of these guys, or one of them, or two of them. You need to not set such a precedent. For fear of the future consequences, we're going to be Matir, Chil Shabbos Daraisa. Big Chiddush. Very big Chiddush. Okay.
Exactly the same if one is Sofa Mishum Tchilasa, and you focus more on after the fact. Mm-hmm. After here, it's before.
Good. They're not exactly the same. The expressions are not the same, and the scenarios are not exactly the same. They're very similar concepts, right? We're going to need both, right? Let's segue into what I was about to do, which is summarize. So, what do we got up till now? We have two concepts. We have Hetiru Sofa Mishum Tchilasa, which refers specifically to Isuri Derabanan, that we say we're going to let you be over on an ultimate Isuri Derabanan in order to up the chances that you'll do the original right thing. Two is, and that we only know, Hetiru Sofa Mishum Tchilasa operates on a level of being Matir Isuri Derabanan. What about Shema Yachshilim La'asid Lavo? That's related but different concept, which we know in the context of Eidus, the Kiddush HaChodesh, says that I allow these Eidim to be Mechalel Shabbos Da'oraisa. That's where things are really moving up. Why? Because of future concerns of mistakes you'll make in the future. Different, but similar, where we're allowing Dichias Isurim for theoretical reasons. That's the pure commonality.
First thing that you're doing is that sort of stuff, the second thing is not.
because you didn't do the second thing, the first thing, you got the second thing, you're defining the second thing as a star of yomtiv. In which case, it's now everything's a mutter. So that's a halt in yomtiv. So
in other words, you're saying the ultimate heter of sofan is also liturgic yomtiv.
Right, that's considered a star of
yomtiv. Right.
But that obviously has nothing to do with Shabbat.
Not necessarily at all. Or any other issa. Right? So, yeah, we have to see. I'm not yet extrapolating out. Another way of looking at it, though, is in order to be mekayem aseiz d'oraisa, I'm allowed to be over an isurim d'rabban. Right?
I mean, doesn't it, just two questions. First of all, doesn't it say Rechal Shabbos? So, I don't understand.
Doesn't it
say Rechal Shabbos because of Rosh?
So right.
I'm saying maybe not in this case because there are
You mean what case? Because Nefesh?
No, in the cases of in the Mishnah. He was asking, maybe it's for the Mitziyantum, was the first thing. That's
right, he was asking from that sugi. He says from that first sugi, that's all we can derive. Sugi. From the second sugi, we can derive a lot more.
And
right?
I guess also the question would be, there's a custom
in the case. Kiddush Chodesh. Right, very important. Right? You would think maybe that's, we'll see. Shlomo Zalman is going to go with that a little bit. But not so fast. I wasn't clear on it because, I'll tell you the truth, is there really Xerus HaKosov? What's the Xerus HaKosov tell me by Kiddush HaKosov? In order to achieve Kiddush HaKosov, I could be Machal, I could be over on the rest, right? Great. But this has nothing to do with that, right? Unless you like take it to a next, you're expanding it the same way. In other words, you're saying, well, ultimately this is going to facilitate Kiddush HaKosov in the future, so therefore this Xerus HaKosov counts here. So I can say the same thing by Pikuch Nefesh very easily. Why don't I just say, look, Pikuch Nefesh, there's a Pasuk too, right? The Chai Bahem. Okay, what does that tell me? I could do whatever it takes to save lives. So if I determine by the same logic that in the future, Shem Yachshin Ma'osi Lava, he's not going to go in. If I tell him he's stuck in the hospital, he's not going to go in. Same thing. It's also ultimately Hatzalas Nefashos. So maybe I could extrapolate out. Kav Chomer. Right? This is going to be really interesting. Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman are going to fight about this a little bit. Why don't we just say Kav Chomer? I got enough, right? If you could do it for Kiddush HaChodesh, my God, you could do it for Hatzalas Nefashos. Someone just, anyone off the top of their heads, tell me why that's not necessarily true. It seems so simple, right? That was my first reaction. First reaction is, whoa, if, the Torah tells me I could be Mechal Shabbos D'Oraisa for the sake of ultimately achieving Kiddush HaKodesh, I mean, pshita, that I should be able to do it for saving lives. So why is that not necessarily so? So, anyone? What would Shlomo Zalman say? He'd say, it's not so pashut. If you tell me, right, that I'm on my way to do Kiddush HaKodesh, and then there's a guy whose life I could save, and I'll miss my opportunity to do Kiddush HaKodesh, pshita, I save his life, and forget about Kiddush HaKodesh. Head to head, Kal Vachomer, of course, it's ridiculous. Why is this not that? This is not that at all. Not that at all. Because what we're trying to say, Rav Shlomo Zalman had a hard time understanding what's our concern. You really think Yisrael Shlos is a realistic possibility? We're really concerned that somebody's going to hesitate to go in? He would say, you don't have this hat there because your concern is ridiculous, right? That's why that's always going to creep in there a little bit, right? But Moshe is going to sort of make the Kal Vachomer, you'll see. And Shlomo Zalman is going to stay away from it for this reason. And Shlomo Zalman, I think, is a good point. They're not necessarily comparable. And we'll say, let's say, also the mechanism by Kiddush HaKodesh is Hutra. It's Hutra Kiddush HaKodesh. So therefore, you know, everything goes to facilitate its ultimate accomplishment. I have a Mefurish Gemara telling you that. Pikuach Nefesh is dechuya. It's not so pashut that you could start to expand it out to areas where Shlomo Zalman himself feels is very, very unlikely scenario. Okay. Where the sugya really comes to a head, though, actually, turn the page 2. One more background sugya. This is one of my favorite Mishnayos. It's why we have breakfast here. The Mishnah says the following. Chatzir gedola haisa b'Yerushalayim u'beis yazik haisa nikreis u'v'sham kol ha'edim miskantzin u'beistin bodkinam samsham b'se'udas gedolos osin lahem. Right? B'shvil shiyu regidim lava. Right? We have a great Mesorah for, I remember when I used to give a shir on Aruch Chaim in Tinek, in the shul I davened in. And, there was a decent attendance. It was Tuesday nights. Yeah, we had between 10 and 20. I kind of feel here a little bit. And then some guy comes over to me, and he says, you know what? There's so many more people that would really get a lot out of this year. Let's give supper. thought it was so degrading. I said, come on. Are you kidding me? They come for the Torah, not for the... I said, I humored him, right? He did it. Tripled. And maybe it was me, I don't know, but then I felt much better. First I was feeling like, oh my God, you know. Then I saw this mission, I said, okay, you know, greater people than me had to go to that, and here we see it. All right. But that's not the part of this mission we're really interested in. We're interested in something else. So everyone knows the halachos of Tchumen a little. Let me just refresh on Tchumen. Tchumen is a sneaky halacha that really comes into the life of a doctor, by the way, and parents, all the time. Now, when we get to, just to project ahead, what I'm hoping to do this summer, I figured as I was looking at the amount of time we have together, somebody had asked me, they're not here this week, but they had asked me to do something very practical, which I think is a very good idea. Ultimately, before I leave, the last shiur is going to be a typical Shabbos on call, and not a typical, it's going to be atypical, because everything in the world is going to happen to this poor person, right? And we're going to go through it piece by piece. So one of the hidden agendas is Tchumen, is to watch out for Tchumen. And then we'll go into a little more of the details of why, in most of the New York metropolitan area, you're okay. You don't have to deal with it so much. There are other areas where you will, but those details will be important in Halacha L'maaseh, so we'll get to that. In the meantime, though, you have to know this to understand these two sugis that we're about to do. Tchumen is an Isser, right? Debated in the Gemara, is it the Reis, is it the Rabbanon, it's Erev and Yud Zayin. So over there, we want to know, Lo Yetze Ish Mim Komo B'Yom HaShabbos. You're not allowed to be Yetze Mim Komo, right? So whether that Pasuk's teaching me about Hotzah or Tchumen, it's machlokes. There is a sheet that says daraisa. Even 2,000 amma is a daraisa. Okay, good. The other sheet that says it's the rabbana. Minimally, there's an iser when you are kone shvisa, which means bein hashmasos, wherever you are, that's your makom. That's where you're kone shvisa. This is very relevant, you'll see, to us who are out there sometimes Friday night then Friday afternoon. But wherever you are at bein hashmasos is kone shvisa, and then from that place you have 2,000 alpayim amma. Now, if you're in a big city, you're okay, because you got the whole city, and then the Alpayim Amma is counted. So that's why we'll see when it gets to, say, Bergen County, just to throw that one out. It's a big place. It goes all the way, and we'll get into trouble when we get to the GW. We'll see, maybe. I had to deal with that a lot, because I was going into Columbia from Tina. I thought I was in big trouble, but there's even, you'll see, when we get into the details of Tchumen, there's ways of circumventing even that, but... in general, the Alpayim Amma means that for wherever your Makom Shvisa is at the ends, at the outskirts of town, right? There's some more details to it that are not important right now. You have Alpayim Amma, right? Yud Beis Mil is another sheet that they say, well, I don't think Alpayim Amma is Duraisa, it's only Durabanam, but Yud Beis Mil, which is a greater distance, that's Duraisa. So there's like three sheetos. Tchumen is Durabanam altogether? No. Even Alpayim Amma is Duraisa? No. Yud Beis is Duraisa. Either way, there is a din. If you go outside your tchum, you get a knas. You're penalized. What's the knas? You get da'al amos. That's the original takana. If you've gone outside your tchum, even if almost ba'anos, you do, tough. Da'al amos. There are applications to this. Hopefully we'll get to that on that crazy day. We're going to put the guy into this position. He's going to be shooting up to, some reason, he's going to be shooting up to Monticello, or wherever up there, and he's going to run into this problem, so we'll see how we circumvent that. But coming back over here, that was the takana. Wow, that's kind of limiting. So, how many people are going to want to do Eidus HaChodesh, right? They're going to Heter to do Eidus HaChodesh, they could be Mechal Shabbos, but, oh my God, they're going to go outside their Tchum, then they're going to be stuck within Dalet Amos. So, there was a great takana to be matir this. Barishona lohayu zazin misham kol hayom. All these guys traveling in, the Eidus for the Chakira on the Eidus of Kiddush HaChodesh that's taking place in the great... I mean, the food might be good, but you still don't want to be there at Da'al Amos, right? So you come in to this place, Chatzir Gedola, and you're stuck Da'al Amos, so Berishon Elo Yuzazim Misham Kol Hayom, you're stuck. Hiskin Rabin Gamli Elazakin Shiu Mehalchin Alpayim Amal Chorach. He said, Hetiru Sofon Mishum Tchilasan, seemingly, the same kind of idea. Or Shema Yachshin al-Asil Avo, I don't know which one exactly, but one of those principles operating here to cause Rabban Gamliel to be Masaki, and guess what? You're not subject to that knas. You don't have to have only Da'al Amos. We know you're outside your tchum, but nevertheless we'll give you a new makam shvisa. We'll say, look at it as though your makam shvisa is where you landed when you went in beheter. Great. So I know for sure before Shin the Gemara on Shabbos, this is great, right? You get Alpayim Amma. Isn't that fantastic? So you come in, you do your life-saving thing, and now you got your Alpayim Amma. And that's it, right? Not going to be very helpful. Then the Gemara says something that's even more directly related to our sugya. Lo elu bilvad. It's not only the guys going into Kiddush HaChodesh, because who says, wait, I extrapolated it out already to our scenario. Who says I could do that? Maybe that was even dafka to Kiddush HaChodesh. Lo elu bilvad elu af chachama haba leled. Even a midwife who's coming to deliver a baby. The haba lahatzil min adlika u min agiyus. And even someone who's coming to save someone from drown, from a fire or from attack. Umina nahar, or from drowning, umina mapoles, from all sorts of horrible things. So they're going for very good reasons. Beheter, hare elu ki anshia ir v'yeshlim apayim l'chol ruach. So straight reading of the Mishnah, guess what? If you're going in to save someone's life, you're not stuck in da'aramos, but you get apayim l'chol ruach. So, but first question is, I assume that this is operating hetir sofa mishum t'chilasa, right? We're letting you have the apayim because we want to make sure you go out and do these things. Why isn't it on Ula's list? Anybody? Why is this not on Ula's list? This is going to be a very important question between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Why is it not on Ula's list? So Tosis asked this question. If you see over there, Tosis Dibra Maschil, Shiyu Mahalchin Alpayim Amal Charuach, Hadilo Choshev, the Perakama debates Agavi Dvarim, Sheetiru Sofen Mishum Tchilasan, Mishum Debahach Lokash Lamidi, De Masnisin Hi, Da Akol Hani Dahasu Perach Tanina Umishani Lahu. I should have done this with you before. The other thing the three cases by Ula had in common was the Gemara asked the Shaila on each one of them. Ula, why are you telling me this? Tanina, I know this already. I know Hetir Sof Mishum Tchilasan, or I know these things are mutter. I know all these things are mutter. I know that the Or Lifnei Hadarsan is mutter. I know the Terisei Chanuyos is mutter. I know all of them are mutter. So why are you telling me? So the Gemara answers, no, because I might have thought, Ula's telling you the following, you might have thought they were matir, these things, for other reasons. Coming Ula to tell you to make sure you realize, no, there's a principle that he wants to make sure we're all aware of, called Hetir Sof Mishum Tchilasan. That's what they're really all about. So what's Tosfos saying? This should have been on the list also, that if you're going out to save someone's life, you get to disregard the Dalet Amos Knas, and you have Alpayim Ala L'Kol Ruach, you have that dispensation, Hetir Sof Mishum Tchilasan. You want to know why? The only reason it's not on the list? It's not on the list because, somebody? Because it's pshita. And this is going to be really important. Because it's like, the other ones we had a habamina, there's no such principle as a tir sofim shun chilasan. The reason those things are mutter is for some secondary reason. I won't go into them. The Gemara and Beitza goes through them. Here, it's clear, black and white, in the Mishnah, this is the only reason this could be mutter. It's because of a tir sofim shun chilasan. So Ula doesn't need to mention it. Alright? We'll see what Rav Moshe does with this Tosos. It's going to be very important. So keep it in mind. Right? The reason it's not on the list is because Pshita, this one, is operating along those lines. Okay. So everything now is background. We're ready for the real Gemara. Here's the one I really want participation if we can get it. Who here has learned Gemara before? Mm-hmm. Right? So, I don't want to do these shirim like, baby halacha l'maisa shirim. It's never good. A person appreciates halacha so much more when they derive it, when they see it, when they feel it. You have to feel it. You don't feel it without the makaris, without generating the sugya. That's really, I feel very strongly about that. You want it, it's a worthy tangent right now, just to get everybody going, right? I got to get ready for next month. Sometimes, can you believe it? Sometimes guys need inspiration to get going. Chafetz Chaim writes in his Hakadama to Aruch Chaim, he says, he's explaining, why did I write the Sefer Mishneh Berurah? Why did I write it? So he says, look, I noticed what's going on, and I said, people are learning this and that, but I think we need a limud hamedi lidei masa. That's what we need. Limud hamedi lidei masa. What does he mean by that? So most people think what he means, right, and I think erroneously think, and I'll show you my raya, they think he means practical, look, you got to know what to do. And Aruch Chaim is such an important part of life, right? Aruch Chaim. You got to know those halachas. So I want to teach people the halachas that are everyday halachas. Make sure they know. It's not pshat. It's not what he means, because he says that also. He says that later. What he means over here is something much bigger, which is why I'm stressing, I really want you to get into this a bit. He says, a limud hamevi demasa means, if you, exactly what I'm trying to tell you, which is, I want them to be doing, committed to the halacha, participating in halacha with excitement and enthusiasm. Not the anshei melumada, that they're just going through motions, which is the destruction of so many Jews, lo aleinu chas v'shalom. Right? What makes good Jews is when they feel what they're doing and they understand it. So it's tamei mitzvos, and it's also understanding the derivation and the complete putting together of halacha. So, thank you for allowing my soapbox. Let's get back. So, bottom line is, I want you, this is the key Gemara. This is the key Sylvia. What do we have before we get into this? What do I know so far? I know that in terms of my ultimate shaila, of going out for Hatzalah, what am I allowed to do? Let's just make sure we're all together on this. What am I allowed to do? No. I don't know that I can do the Rabbanans. I only know one thing. What am I allowed to do? Alpayimam. That's all I know. That's the only thing I've seen. Right? I don't know if I could apply the Kiddush HaChodesh, like you said, the Xerus Kosa. I don't know if I could apply that yet. Kavachomer, not Kavachomer. I don't know. I can't make my own Kavachomers and Paskin Halachos. Right? So I don't know anything about that. Daraisis, forget about. Any Durabanan? All I know is that the Dalet Amos Knas doesn't apply. And I get Alpayim Amma. And I'm telling you, if that's all we get, and Ratzi Pesach Frank, that's his conclusion. Ratzi Pesach Frank, you will see, you'll see him ultimately in this sugya. He says, that's it. That's all you get. Enjoy the hospital, because you're not leaving. Alpayim Amma doesn't get you too far. Right? Okay. So if we're going to get anywhere else, this is it. This is the Makor. This is the single Makor that needs everything.
Is that you get from where you are? From like
from your Malkam Shvisa.
It's not from the border. No.
Well, you become like Anshe Ayir. So it is. Still not going to get you home. Not going to get you home. And nor, by the way, does it allow you to even do Amir Lanachri or go in a taxi or any of the other Adairas involved in getting home. Walking. You can walk Alpaya Mama outside your Tchum. Outside your Malkam Shvisa. That's about it. That's not much. But Tzipi Pesach Frank basically is telling you to stay in the hospital. That's what he said. And he did. That was the shaila, and he said, stay. He was asked the shaila, to tell you a little bit of the scenario there. He was asked, some guy was asking him, shaila, we're going to do, when we get to that horrible day, can I turn off my car? The person had to drive in. We're going to have this person going in multiple times. So one of the times he's going to go in, he's going to drive in, right? Because it's an immediate emergency, you know, it's tamponade, he's got to go in there, tap out that effusion. He comes running in, can I turn off his car? That's what they were asking Tzipi Pesach Frank. So he says, and then they describe the guy going home, right? So he says, what are you asking me about turning off the car? Let's not talk about that yet. How on earth are you letting this guy go home? And that's when he instead of answering the shaila he was asked, he just got into this whole topic, and he said, forget it, you can't go home, and you have Alpayim Amma, and that's about it. Even Rosh Hashanah Zaman doesn't go that l'chumra. So we got to see how it opens up. So it's this sugya. Mi shiyotza birshus. Person who went out birishus on Shabbos, he went outside his tchum on Shabbos. This is a mesechta erevin. Anyone doing daf yomi? So you're accountable for everything we talk about now. I don't want to go through one of my diatribes against daf yomi, but in medical school, I promote daf yomi. That's what I did in medical school. Don't get me going there. Enough tangents for one day. So mishi yotze birishus. He goes out of his tchum birshus. Who goes out birshus? Rashi lists the full list, right? What does it mean to go out birshus? It is the chodesh, the hatzil, all those things we've been talking about, right? What's the din by them? Ve'amlulo kfar nase maisa. What's the chiddush of this mishnah up front? What's this different than what we've said already? In this case, it's absolutely clear you're not needed anymore. You don't need to. We stop you midway and we say, guess what? The fire's out. The guy's not drowning. The marauders are gone. Kiddush HaChodesh is on its way. We don't need you. So does that guy still get the heter of Alpayim Amma? That's the shaila. So the Gemara says, Yesh lo Alpayim Amma l'chol ruach. Don't worry. Right? Now this makes a lot of sense. Because since the whole thing is the Yerusof and Mishim Tzidah Son and Shema Yachshilim La'asid Lavo, also, we don't want the guy in the future not going out. Absolutely okay. We still get the Alpayim Amma. Because if you know that you might get stopped short and then not have this, you're also going to hesitate to go. Great. We're not worried about that. That's a mid-halacha. That's another halacha that's an Erevin halacha that I'm not going to talk about. Here's the line we're very interested in. Kol hayotzim lahatzil chozrin limkoman. Anybody bothered by anything? What's the problem?
We're talking about Alpaimama, and now we're talking about...
Yeah, stira. Open stira in the Mishnah. Right? First you tell me the halacha is all the people going out Rishus, which includes those that are going out Lahatzil, get Alpaimama. Now you're telling me, no, Chozin Lemkomam, which by the way is equivalent to Yisuri Daraisa, just to let you know that. Chozin Lemkomam, we're going to presume, is Yisuri Daraisa, Idiyud Beis Mil, right? You got to do Hotzah, Rishus Harabim. For many reasons, it's going to be Yisuri Daraisa. Ah, so now there is light at the end of the tunnel, right? Here we go. Seems like Yisuri Daraisa are mutter, even for future considerations. So now, if I said to you, steer in this Mishnah, who could tell me why they would think this is not a steer? Why might it not be a steer? How's a quick answer to this dilemma? Right? Reisha says, Alpayimam. Kol hayotzin rishus. Seifa says, hayotzin lahatzil. Chozrin limkom. What's the easy, quick answer? Nope. Anybody, come on. Should I make it obvious? The Reisha says, Mi sheyotza birishus. And the Sefer says, Kol hayotzin lahatzil. New. Who's on the list of yotzin birishus? A lot of people. Lahatzil and other reasons. Maybe, right? Pashut shah, right? Maybe, when it comes to guys that are going out for the Kiddush HaChodesh and simple things like that, they get up by a mamba. But when it's lahatzil, a life, no. Kam chomer, then you get more. Isn't that very logical? If I was an Amora, that's what I would have said. So I'm in good company. Go to the next page. Because this kasha and that teretz is the opening of the sukkah, right? The Gemara goes like this. Mem hei amudal. Kol ayotzi, you remember this Gemara? Okay. Now you get... Kol hayotzin lahatzil chozun dem koma. So the Gemara says, right, quoting the Sefer, Bafilu tuva, so much. Bahamart reisha, alpayimama, vatulo, stira. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, right, he gives an answer. What does he say? Something that you're not going to understand yet. Shechozun b'chei zaynam limkoman. What's that talking about? He says, no, I'll answer it. The Sefer is talking about a special situation. It has to do with they're going with their weapons. It's telling me they can go back with their weapons. All right, we'll see what that's all about in a moment. Before we get into that, we're going to return to it. The Gemara is going to first fix things up a little. My kushya, the Gemara first says, whoa. Pshita, what are you asking? Dilma lahatzil shani, right? That's what I said, right? That, what do you mean? There's no stira here. If it's lahatzil, those cases, and here's the big machlokas. Lahatzil shani is referring to which cases, right? What are the cases we had? We had going out to fight off the enemies. But we also had the midwife, and we had the drowning victim, and we had the fire, and all those others. Which is this referring to? So if you look at Rashi, what does Rashi say? Oh, he says it's only talking about enemies. That's the case it's talking about. That might be different. So why is that going to be different? Why? So the Gemara is going to ultimately tell us the following Maisa Shahaya, horrible thing that happened. One time guys went out to save the day, you know, to battle off the enemy, and they figured they got things under control, they were on their way back. What are they supposed to do? They're carrying weapons. To go for the Pikuach Nefesh, Otsar the Raisas, Mutter Lagamre. What about to come back? So they should put their weapons down and not carry them back. You don't have a heter anymore. What happened? The oivin came after them. They quickly ran to get their weapons. They ended up killing more of each other than the enemy got to them. So because of that Maisa Shahaya, they said, from now on, you can carry your weapons home. Now, if that's the whole chiddush of the Seifa, does that have any application to us? No. It just means we're back to square one. We're back to Ritzi Pesach Frank territory. All it means is, A, you have just Alpayim Amot, like we said. All those other cases of Lahatzil is that. But we don't have anything that's Daraisa. That's only for certain circumstances. So let's see how the Gemara goes. So the Gemara now addresses this possibility that we can make the chiluk between Lahatzil or not. He says, Ikasha Hakasha, Ditznan. It quotes the Mishnah we saw before. Berishona lo ayuzazin misham kol ayom kulo, hiskin rabin gamli lo zakon shiish lein alpayim ama l'chol ruach, lo eila bilvad amru, eila afilu chachama haba leled, v'haba lahatzil mina gayis, u mina nahar, mina polos, mina glika, harei hen kean shei ha'ir, v'yish lein alpayim ama l'chol ruach. So now, we quote that Mishnah, now I can't just get out of it, right, and say, oh, the lahatzil are different than the person is Fakidish HaChodesh. I have to address it. Even the Lahatzil only got Alpayim Amma according to our previous Mishnah. So the Gemara says, V'sulo, V'hamart kol ha-yotzin Lahatzil chozunim koman. Afilu tuba. So what is it? Is Lahatzil getting Alpayim Amma like my previous Mishnah? Or is Lahatzil in general getting even Chazara Limkoma? So now we're going to have two answers. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav is going to say what he said already, right? So that is not going to help us. What did he say? He said again, it's talking about only the guys that went out for battle, shechozrin b'klei zaynam, nimkoman. And then he tells that maisa in that little part, and that's his shita. So his shita says, clear as day, it's very hard to argue with saying anything but this, is saying that, no, the chiluk in our Mishnah is just for this special case of guys going out with their weapons, that they can now return with their weapons in order to avoid ever again having that horrible event happen. Does it say anything about me going out to save a patient's life or the midwife or any of those cases? According to Yehuda Marav, no. However, there's a second opinion.
He's saying that they could even go, it's not just please Zion 2000.
No, it's machlokes over that. The Achronim discussed that. Does he mean only within the, does Makoman mean their Makom, which is 2,000 Amma, or even more than that? You'll see it's a whole, it has ramifications of Lachomaisa if you're going out with weapons to save people, right? Not that common for us, but that's the Bach is on one side and the Beis Yosef, and it's a whole discussion in the postgame about that. It's a good child. Right? Rashi takes a stand on it. He says Alpayim Amma. If you look at Rashi over here.
It seems also from the Mishnah that we quoted, that was one of
the... Yeah, in other words, how's he fixing up the Stira? So he says, the Alpayim Amma, that holds for everybody. Right? What is the Chiddush over here? It's just the weapons. Right? Erechinami, I think that's more compelling also. But what's important for us, and here's where the action begins, where Moshe has the most incredible pshat on this line, I purposely want to learn it. Like you, I want to hear what you guys tell me is the meaning of this. Ready? Here's where you have to participate. Somebody give me pshat in Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because that's where all the money is. He's answering an alternative answer to Rav Yehuda Marab. It's not a continuation. It's an alternative answer. Remember, the steer is, according to my Mishnah, and the Reisha, presumably, if you're Yotze, even Lahatzil, you only get Alpayim Amma. According to the Seifa, Chozin Lam Koma. So, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Lo Kasha, Kan She Nitzchu Yisrael Es Umos HaOlam, Kan She Nitzchu Umos HaOlam Es Atman. That's a nice way of saying the enemy won, right? Everyone realizes we don't want to ever chas v'shalom say that. So es atman really means that us, right? So what's the answer? Somebody? What's pshat there? Look at Rashi, do whatever you need to do. But what's the answer? Come on. It's hard to learn Gemara on a Sunday morning? What's he say? Obviously he's saying one of the cases, Alpayim Amma is under certain conditions. And going all the way back, which I'm going to just now throw in, doing Doraisas, right, is under other conditions. So, anyone got it?
It seems like a similar kind of idea about safety. I guess the Jews are in control of the situation, and there's nothing to worry about, so that there's no hunter.
So all you get?
All the way home, you just get 2,000 novels.
Good. But
if they win, then you still have to worry that they may...
Worry about what?
Maybe they'll kill you or whatever.
Therefore?
Then you
Everyone agree? Pashup Shah. Rashi says it that way. Shlomo Zalman says definitely that way. right? Pashut Pshat. So what do we get out of that? If that's really Pshat, right, which is Pashut Pshat, what's the outcome of that for us? Where are we? Nowhere. Back to square one, because the whole Heter, according to this, is again a Pachad Heter. It's Pekuach Nefesh. You know, the only time you can do it is this Mamish Pekuach Nefesh, right, considerations, right, under those scenarios, that's what we're worried about, right? But this idea of Heter Sofashim Chilasan, no way. That has no application here. So that's Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Now, take a look. Who's really good in Iyum? You're going to have to stop soon. Come on. Don't be shy. Take a look back to the first page of this sugya. At the Tosfos, little tiny Tosfos. Who likes little tiny Tosfos? Right? What's this Tosfos over here saying? Kol ha-yotzin la-hatzil chozrin l'mkomam. Take a look at that Tosfos. Right? You have to say to yourself, Rav Moshe is going to give us a different shot. Rav Moshe is going to use this sheet over here to open up the heter for us. We all learn Pashut Pshat, unless someone wants to deny it and then retrospectively learn it differently, that it goes like Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Look what this Tosfos says. Kol ha-yotzin la-hatzil chozrin l'mkomam. So, according to the Pashut Pshat and Rosh Shlomo Zalman and everybody, there's no way we would even think that this should be on Ula's list, right? It has nothing to do with Yitir Sof and Mishum Tchilasa. Nothing to do with it. Instead, what's striking about this Tosfos? How would you fit this Tosfos into your Pshat? What's Tosfos' Pshat? Why does Tosfos think it should be on the list of Hetir Sofa Mishum Tchilasan? Why? So one answer could have been, right, and this is what Rosh Shlomo Zalman is going to say. Anybody? Do it quickly. The Reisha. He's going to say, this Tosfos is going on the Reisha. In other words, it's talking about everybody but the guys with the weapons, right? Those guys should have been on the list. It's like, which Tosfos is it identical to? The Tosfos we saw, right? The Tosfos we saw in Rosh Hashanah on that Mishnah. That Tosfos asked that question. It was a good question there, right? It was talking about Alpayim Amma. So in that context, it should be on the list. There it was totally analogous to Hetir Sof and Mishum Tchilasan. Over here, we didn't think so, and yet it's asking. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, don't get so excited. It's not really referring to the Seifa, it's referring to the Reisha. But what's the problem with saying that? What gives Rav Moshe leverage here? Look at the Dibur HaMaskil. What does it say? The Seifa. And this is going to be very significant for Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is going to quote this Tosfos, and the Rashba on this sugya does the same thing as this Tosfos. The Rashba is even more, almost more explicit, that they do learn, the Rashba and Tosfos do learn that even the Seifa is applying the principle of Hetir Sofon Mishum Tchilasa. And once you do that, now the door is opened, right? So we have to then, the only thing we have to do, I have 2 minutes. Let me try to do it in 2 minutes. You can listen if you don't catch it right away. I want to tell you how Rav Moshe learns Pshat in the Gemara. Incredible Chiddush. Basically, the real difference is at the end. Right? Everything's the same. He gets to the ultimate Kasha and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's answer. Here's what he says. And this is going to have Nafka Minas Halacha L'maisa. Let's say you want to use Rav Moshe's Heter, or even you want to use Rav Moshe's Heter of Hetir Sof and Mishum Tchilasan to go home from your Hatzalah endeavors, even on the level of the Rabbanon, it's going to have Nafka Minas. Watch what he says. He says, when Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Lo kasha, kanshi nitzchu Yisrael es umos ha'olam, kanshi nitzchu umos ha'olam, lo es atzman, he learns the opposite of what you said in Rashi. You and Rashi are together. Good company. He says, no. The case that's the Alpayim Amma is the case of Nitzchu Umos Ha'olam. The case that is open Heter is the case of Nitzchu Yisrael. How could that be? How are you understanding those expressions? Obviously very differently than we do. How did Rav Moshe understand it? Like this. Nitzchu Yisrael means that the Jews are in pretty good shape. The Jews are in control. The Jews are like in America, right? You know that we are, let's say, might have to deal with anti-Semitism every now and then, put it in the bag, but then we don't have to really worry. Nitzchu umos ha'olam means when they're always out to get us, we are in big trouble, and the going out and saving is not such a pashut thing, we're going to be going up against the tide of the populace, it's going to be very difficult circumstances. That's his pshat. So what does that translate to? So he says like this, incredible chiddush. He says, if you go out, I'm going to swing it over to our type of issue. You'll make the connection maybe later, or now if you're quick. He says, if I am called for an emergency, and I think that it's going to be incredibly arduous, unbelievable, it's going to take me 3 days, it's going to be really hard, but I go anyway. What does that indicate about me? Is there a likelihood?
You don't have to worry that you're not going to go.
Exactly. I'm the kind of guy who's going to go. There's no Yisrashel Asilavo. There's none of that. Because I'm willing to go out under the most dire circumstances, knowing the odds are I'm going to be kept there for a long time. So that person, no heter of Shema Yachshin Rasigam. Now you'll see, this is going to play out in real halakha l'maaseh scenarios, which we'll get to next week. The other scenario is, I go out and I think, and this is more typical on a call, I'm going to go in, do the tap, right, when you get good, right? I'll be it 10 minutes, back home. That guy, we're worried. He thinks he's just going in for 2 seconds. He's the kind of guy, he obviously wants to get home very badly. He doesn't want to even leave. Shem Yisrael Shal Asid Lago. That's the chiluk, the way of Moshe sees it. So he says, you get Alpayim Amma when it's that type of scenario, like all the cases of where, you know, Nitzchu Yisroel, meaning we're in control and it's likely to be a quick vanquishing of the anti-Semites. So that guy I'm worried about, right? So that guy gets, that's the Sefer. That guy gets Chazara Lemakomo, gets to go home with Dar Isis. However, if it's a scenario where it's Nitzchu Umos Ha'olam, where they're in control and this guy is going out anyway, I don't have to worry about him being Nisrashel La'asli Lavo. He's a great guy. He's Moser Nefesh. He only gets Alpayim Amma. So Ramosh is then going to apply it, right, to us, and we're going to see he's a bit cooler at Moshe. But it's almost like you have to get to know yourself a little. If it's going to be the scenario like I described to you at the beginning with the tapping, I think Ramosha would apply it to that case because that's heavy, heavy rationalization territory. But if it's something else, like for example, where would it certainly, according to Ramosha, not apply? Shifts. It won't apply to a shift. If you have a shift and you're going in for the shift, you can't say that I might not go. You don't have that at all. You have no room for that rationalization. And I'll show you many other scenarios where it plays out. All right. So,
would shifts be any different than if the doctor's on call? Isn't it his responsibility to go in?
Yeah.
So why is shift work any different than that?
Exactly.
Or we're just saying because...
No. If a doctor's on call, I told you. So this is one of the arguments. Rav Schechter, it's interesting. Rav Schechter is going to make an argument. Any resident or fellow is in the same kind of situation, even if they get the call from home. Sometimes residents don't, right? Residents are going to be in the hospital. It's not Shachter residents. But fellows, when I was a fellow, I got to go home, right? Now, when I was on Shabbos, I didn't for other reasons that we talked about previously. But once you're in attending, for sure you're home, right? Now, if you're just on call and you're home, right? So Rav Schechter wants to say, if you're being paid to be on call, that's the equivalent of a shift, and you don't get to use any rationalizations. And I just told you, real life, but that's not true. It's absolutely not true. I'm telling you right now, I had so many times such nisyonos about making the decision to go in, and you will, I guarantee you, anyone who's on Shabbos, whatever field you're going into, you're going to deal with this, and can you turn this off?